I think it's his bill, right?
Okay, you ready? All right.
$200,000.
House Committee on Revenue for June 15, 2015 will come to order. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3561. Christine? You have the phone numbers, too? Tell us about this bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3561 would modify the definition of who is a resident for the purposes of personal income taxation, and it would exclude certain members of the armed forces if the home of record is located outside the state. There is now a -1 amendment that ought to show up in the OLS. And what it would do is that it would tie the residency to what is found on the service member's paycheck instead of their official home of record. So the revenue impact on that would be to be determined. And the measure would allow people to apply for a refund anytime prior to January 1st, 2018, and it would be applicable all the way back to the tax year beginning January 1st, 2010, and then it would extend forward into the future. And so that the impact, the revenue impact would change with the -1 amendment as we gather the information about the number of service members affected.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for your revenue impact being much higher in the first biennium is, I assume, based on these refund requests.
Correct. This is not the -1 version, but the intro version.
Right.
There were about 250 people affected, and so then the impact to that would be 900,000 roughly per year, and then you multiply that by six because of 2010 carried forward to 2015. And then it would be about $2 million per biennium going forward. But the -1 amendment would make a change to that, and we're gathering information about how many people would be affected by that.
Okay, great. Questions? Let's hear from our members.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for coming to the committee. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Whitsett, representing District 28, Klamath, Lake, Crook, Deschutes, and Jackson counties. The Oregon Air National Guard serves two missions that are critical to our nation's defense. The 142nd Fighter Wing stationed in Portland has a primary responsibility for maintaining the air defense of much of the entire North American coast. The 173rd Fighter Wing stationed in Klamath Falls is responsible for training all of the F-15 fighter pilots on the planet. Their critical missions require pilots and support staff to be stationed in Oregon, whose permanent place of residence or domicile is located in other states. Currently, several hundred members of the military stationed in Oregon fit into this category. According to the revenue statement, it looks like about 250. Under current state and federal law, military personnel who are not paid with Oregon revenue and who are not domiciled in Oregon are not subject to Oregon income tax. The Oregon Department of Revenue appears to need clarification regarding when military personnel are and are not domiciled in Oregon. The department's auditors have been targeting Oregon military personnel regarding their domicile, including Air National Guard officers stationed in Portland and Klamath Falls. Several individual military members have received department demands to pay several years of back taxes, interest, and penalties, amounting in tens of thousands of dollars each. Protests made by the members and their professional tax accountants have generally either been ignored or dismissed out of hand by department auditors. Some members have been threatened with garnishee and other collection methods if they do not pay immediately. House Bill 3561 clarifies that military personnel are not residents of Oregon for income tax purposes if they are a member of the armed forces who perform active service and are paid with federal funds, with certain exceptions. The bill is intended to make clear to the department that these military personnel are not subject to Oregon income taxes to the extent of their military pay paid by the federal government. The bill is made retroactive to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2010, because, quite frankly, that's about when the Department of Revenue began to charge these taxes and back taxes and penalties to these various officers around the state. We just became aware of this fairly recently. For those who have already paid the alleged owed back taxes, penalties, and interest, the bill allows them to file an amended return, and claim for refund at any time prior to January 1st, 2018. Following further consultation with military personnel, the bill may need further changes in the specific language in order to target the exact population that we're looking for. That also would be reiterated by our conversation with Legislative Council just a few minutes ago, where we need to hone the language to make it not too broad, but yet to include those people that we want. We asked the committee to amend the bill as needed and then pass it on to the House floor. You know, the revenue statement that we just received about 2 hours ago, better part of $7 million. If that money has been collected from military personnel in a manner that does not comply with the law or does not comply with the intent of the law, we should give it back to them. We should give it back. The payroll at Kingsley Field in Klamath Falls for the 173rd Fighter Wing is over $100 million a year. That is a mission that doesn't have to be in Oregon. They choose to be in Oregon because it's a great place to fly out of, it's got a lot of open spaces and so forth. We have a congressional delegation of only 7 people. That mission could go to Missouri, Florida, Texas. They've got more than 7 people in their congressional delegations, and we treat these people like this. So I'm asking, let's find the right language and let's pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Mike McLean. I represent House District 55, and which includes everything north of Klamath Falls, basically in Klamath County. When I'm not in the legislature, I also serve in the Oregon Air National Guard as an officer assigned currently to the 173rd Fighter Wing at Kingsley Field as a staff judge advocate. First, I want to let the committee know that a dash 2 is coming, and I think we'll get the language right. The dash 1 adds the words, or the member's residency as reflected in the payroll records of the Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service, DFAS, as those of us who serve refer to it. And the thought is that in a dash 2, we would cut out the word home of record and just stick to residency as determined by DFAS. Here's why that's important. Home of record is a broader term. When you enter the military, it's your home of record. There are mailing address, but the home of record is a term to mean where you are going to be deposited, so to speak, when you're done with military service. And so for all of us who first get in the military, our home of record is our residency. Now, the more appropriate term given this bill is referencing residency and DFAS. The forms that military members fill out with DFAS is to indicate, for an example, how many dependents you have, if you're married or not, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things we do is show we're a resident of where we currently live, and we're resident to residency as far as in the context of military service. Now, those forms require truthfulness. If a military member misrepresents the truth on those forms, they're subject to penalty, including discharge, dishonorably, court-martial, and the like. So I'm not concerned at all that someone would misrepresent the truth. So I'll give you an example. If someone enters military service and they live in Texas, they're and then later on they are assigned to Florida at Tyndale, which is another F-15, used to be an F-15 training base prior to us taking over missions. And then they came to Kingsley Field. They would still be a resident of Texas, regardless of whether they served in Florida or they served in Oregon. The reason is under federal law, and as I believe the intent of the state law, is that if you're living in Oregon because of your military service, you're not an Oregon resident. We understand you're here, but you're here because of the military service, so you're still a resident of another state. This issue arose because of the unique mission of the 173rd Fighter Wing and the 142nd Fighter Wing, as Senator Whitsett described. We have F-15 pilots. Those folks who are called maintainers, or in essence who keep those planes in the air, ops, those types of missions are unique to the F-15. And so because of our home security mission with the 142nd on the West Coast and the F-15 training requirements for NATO and American pilots in at the 173rd in Klamath Falls, the pilots stay and those maintainers of F-15s stay for a long period of time. So unlike other forces where people are rotated at 2 years or 3 years and the like, someone could actually come to Kingsley Field or Pang, the Portland Air National Guard base, and stay for 10 years. And because of that uniqueness, I think our Department of Revenue thought that they had to assess them under the typical test, individually looking at whether they have indicia of intent, meaning do they own a resident versus rent? How long have they lived there? Do their kids attend school? Do they have a spouse? Does that spouse work here? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we found is a few years ago, people or the Department of Revenue started to apply that test to a lot of F-15 pilots and security forces and maintainers and others, and assessed back taxes. So we're going to hear today, whenever you're ready, Mr. Chair, we can call Colonel French. Pappy French is a F-15 pilot and ops commander, or might be vice wing commander at this point. We're also going to hear from Colonel Curtis Waite, who served his career as active Guard and Reserve, or an AGR under Title 32. And they're both prepared to testify because they're in a situation where, one, they're residents of a different state, but were assessed taxes by the Department of Revenue. Specifically, Pappy French, Colonel French, will talk about the impact on the recruitment goals of Kingsley and Portland Air Guard if we are recruiting F-15 pilots to our state to take on this mission. And they know that despite the law, they will be assessed state income taxation. I'd be happy to answer any question. My request for the committee is that I think we'll get it right in the dash two, and we move the dash two pretty quickly and get this over to the Senate, where I believe it will be received warmly. We do want to maintain consistency, that we don't assess military members who were here, and the only reason we're here is to serve in a military active duty capacity. And in those situations, we should not be taxing them. The Department of Revenue has indicated that it, you know, they certainly welcome clarity from the legislature on this matter. We have two witnesses who are ready to talk on the phone whenever you're ready.
Yep. Thank you. I think we'll call them, and you two stay right where you are, and because there may be questions for you after we've heard from them. Do you want to call these?
Sure.
Start with Colonel French. Colonel French first.
Colonel French, yes. The number I gave you is for the wing command at Kingsley Field, so
right. Okay.
You should hear Sergeant Witt's answer and ask for Colonel French.
Okay. I'll let you do that.
Hello, this is the Christine with the House Revenue Committee. Is Colonel French available?
Yes,
okay.
conference.
Colonel, this is Phil Barnhart. I'm state representative from Eugene and the chair of the House Revenue Committee. We have you on a conference call involving the House Revenue Committee, and we're on the record. Also with us today is Senator Whitsitt and Representative Mike McLean, and we're calling about the House Bill 3561, and so we're prepared to take your testimony on that bill. If you would, for the record, identify yourself by giving us your full name and then give your testimony, and then we may have some questions for you.
Okay, sounds good. My name is Frederick Wesley French, and if you need me to spell that at the end, I can, or right now, however's best for you all.
That is not as we get.
It's French, just like
that,
the country.
I would like to comment on this bill. I think it affects a large number of military members in Oregon directly as far as pay. And I think that a negative effect, if it didn't pass, would be that a large number of military members would choose to find employment elsewhere at either the end of their tour or at the end of their career, which I think would be bad for Oregon in a overall tax revenue of losing a whole bunch of people that make a decent living, even in retirement, but that would probably also, if they did choose to live in Oregon after they were done with their military career, would make a pretty darn good wage that would obviously go towards taxes and a tax base for Oregon. When I think about this, you know, if you're an AGR, an active guard or reserve, or if you're an active duty member on Title 10, which are slightly different but somewhat similar, most, well, federal law for sure says that you are a resident of the state of your choosing if you are, in fact, stationed in that state. So a member like me who left college in Arizona and was stationed in Texas for my first military base, I became a Texas resident by choice at that time. And then I maintained that Texas residency throughout a bunch of different moves. So if you want to, as a Title 10 person, you could move each time, or you can just keep your residency. And then when I left active duty, I was in Alaska. And I did actually switch to an Alaska resident at that time. And I moved to Oregon, and now I'm an AGR, which, again, active guard and reserve, and that's under Title 32 of the U.S. Code. I am still an Alaska resident, and I don't know what my intent is at the end of my career, but based on that, I've chosen to maintain that. I did some research also on how a person changes their state of legal residence if you are not moving. And the answer is there's a form called a DD, which stands for Department of Defense, Form 2058, dated February of 77. And it's called State of Legal Residence Certificate. So if a person who, let's say, grew up in Oregon his whole life and or her life and was a Oregon resident wanted to change their state of legal residency and they had never moved out of the state, the finance department and the personnel department on a military base would hand them this form, and the form basically says that you can't just go change your state of residence based on your whim or your wishes. You actually have to be, you generally have to move to that state. So there, I know there's some worry about this bill that everybody that's possibly paying state taxes right now would just change their state of residence. And I guess I'd like to say that that's A, not allowed by general rule and regulation. And then B, it's not allowed just because it would be contrary to honest behavior of a military member. So both of those things would stop somebody from just randomly changing their state to save some money on taxes. That's kind of a and make sure I'm not wasting y'all's time with going down a path that you're not interested in or possibly not answering your question. So does that kind of hit with the things you're wondering about? And I'm available to answer questions, obviously.
Yeah, thank you, Colonel French. We appreciate that. And I think we do have some questions. I'm going to recognize Representative McLean first.
Colonel French, Representative McLean here. I've explained to the committee the mission of the 173rd Fighter Wing. How many F-15 pilots do we have there and that are AGR or Title 10? And how many do you know are Oregon residents?
The answer, there's 27 Title 32 pilots here, and there's eventually going to be about 8 more Title 10 pilots. The Title 10 guys are truly moving as an active duty member would, so they're going to move about every 2 or 3 years. So those people don't really factor into this equation at all because they are covered under Title 10 in the federal laws. Of the 27 Title 32 AGRs, which everybody is AGR that's a Title 32 pilot here, I would say probably 25 to 24 two to three are Oregon residents. And that means that every other one of them was stationed somewhere else and was moved by the military to Oregon under a permanent change of station, just like you would do on active duty.
One more.
Yeah, please.
Thank you, Colonel French. One more question. If the, and just for the committee, when Colonel French uses the word AGR, Active Guard and Reserve, that is a full-time active duty member of the military whose commander-in-chief is Governor Brown, not President Obama. Title 10 is federal. Title 32 is state. It's all paid at a federal pot, but it's different pots. And so what are affected are the Title 32 pilots who wear the same uniform, same job, active duty full-time, but the only difference is they were full-time Title 10 federal service somewhere else when they took the assignment or were ordered by the military to go to Kingsley Field. They switched from Title 10 to Title 32. Because that's the nature of which the Air Force guards up or divides up its reserve force. So that's what Title 32 AGR means. Now, Colonel French, if those 25 non-Oregon resident F-15 pilots were assessed tax as Oregon residents, would that have any impact on your recruitment ability on F-15 pilots?
I definitely think it would, and I know of at least one who actually already got hit with the letter that said, you know, you owe in back taxes and penalties and interest, you owe up in the triple digit range, if you can believe that. He is going to leave the state of Oregon as soon as possible, and because of that factor, because most other states, in fact, I'd say about 98% of other states don't treat it that way. So with that being said, people that are that would be assessed the tax, especially if it was a back tax and a penalty, would probably think seriously about leaving. And then from a recruitment of these high-paying jobs that do have the potential to possibly retire here and continue on with these jobs, We would be at a big disadvantage if we said that we were going to charge you state taxes as an AGR, and the states next to us were not. So the answer is yes. I think we're at a huge disadvantage if we do that in recruiting people. And remember, our job is threefold. Like Mr. McLean mentioned, we serve the governor. We serve the federal government in times of activation. And then we've also kind of served the Air Education and Training Command down at Randolph Air Force Base, Texas. So there's a whole lot of legs to this stool, if you would call it, and three to be exact, that are very important to Oregon and also to the nation in general. So I think it's very important that we have a strong recruiting base and continue to recruit the top, you know, pilots in the nation and from around the world.
Thank you, Colonel French. And just so that the record reflects, Colonel French is an F-15 pilot, resident of Alaska, and serving in Oregon under military orders. And Colonel French, how long have you been at your duty assignment at the 173rd?
I've been here for about 12 years now.
And just so that the committee can understand, on Title 10 orders of federal service, it's 2 to 3 years, and then you rotate. Colonel French, having been here 12 years, is not atypical. A lot of the F-15 pilots and maintainers, the others part of the 173rd and the 142nd in Portland, are here for a long period of time. That's one of the attractiveness of recruiting in the top fighter pilots in the nation, is that they, and typically when they come here, they're at a proficiency level where they're considered at the top of their field, but where they don't have to move their family every 2 to 3 years is very attractive to them. And they also get to be a part of what is considered, you know, Top Gun, or in essence, you know, they're part of the 114th Fighter Squadron, which is considered an elite fighter squadron in the country. So that's why we're so concerned, because to assess them Oregon taxation negates the advantage that we have in attracting such talent. I appreciate Chair Barnhart for you allowing me that liberty on questioning Colonel French.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Smith Warner, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Colonel French, can I just ask? So you said that you switched your state residency to Alaska when you moved there, and then have kept it there since you moved to Oregon, even though you've been in Oregon for quite a chunk of time. Could you just tell, you know, what, like, are you planning to go back to Alaska after, or, you know, would you care to share kind of your reasoning there?
Right now, well, I left Alaska and went to Idaho as an active duty member, so I didn't come straight to Oregon, and I kept my Alaska residency because it was convenient not to move places where I vote and that sort of stuff, and a driver's license and registration for vehicles. So I did actually have one base in between here before I was stationed here. The answer to your question is I don't really know. Right now, I could go to either Alaska or Idaho. I could possibly stay here. So right now, I don't have a big plan. And I think I understand the gist of your questioning, which would seem as if you're here for this long, wouldn't you just stay? And I guess the answer is, you know, maybe, but it really depends on what's available to me as a job at the end of my career. And so right now, I don't specifically know how long my career is going to last. It's getting shorter to the end. But at that point, I may have to move to Alaska. I may have to move to Idaho. I may have to move, you know, to California. I could even move across the country to Florida. You kind of got to go where there's a job available to you. And if you're a fighter pilot, you're kind of in a bit of a stovepipe of technical expertise. And so those states that I just mentioned all have jobs available almost all the time, as does, to a smaller extent, Oregon. So I definitely don't rule out staying in Oregon. But I guess what I'd tell you right now, I just don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Yes, Representative Leininger.
Thank you. Thank you both, Representative McLean and Senator Whitsitt, for being here. And Senator Whitsitt, it's delightful to meet you, because I've enjoyed so much working with your wife here for the last part of the session. So this is important stuff. And Colonel, thank you for being on the phone. Two things have come up that I'd love to get your feedback on as we learn about this new area. One, it sounds like we are unique as a state in our approach to taxing the income of service people who are doing this type of work. If you could, one, confirm that, and two, it sounds like, unfortunately, there's been some information about fiscal impact that was larger than would be ideal that you might have received recently. Is there a way we can help, since we're toward the end of the session, and I'm sure, though I'm not on any Ways and Means committees, it sounds like they're all trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet. Are there things that we can do to still move this legislation forward this session that accounts for the fact that we are currently facing a bigger number than maybe you had been hoping that we would?
Well, Chair Barnhart and Representative Leininger, I think we originally drafted the bill to be retroactive to 2010 so that we would take care of everyone who's been assessed, because while it's only been within the last year that military members were contacted by Department of Revenue, roughly, they were, in essence, audited back retroactively for a number of years. My understanding that is 2012 was the year that the farthest one goes back. That's why part of the fiscal revenue impact is 2011, 2010. So I don't think we need those years. I said 2010 just because I just wanted it to make sure to be protective of the military members. But we could probably lop off 2010, maybe even lop off 2011. And if based upon the fiscal impact, that would reduce it by, I think, 33%. Well, maybe 25%. It'd be a significant chunk. And then I think also the second thing, we're going to get it down based upon clarifying that home of record, a broader term. We won't use the broader term. We'll use the narrow term of residency within the DFAST. I think that would also produce a smaller amount. I believe on the dash two, the revenue impact will be considerably smaller. My hope is that it doesn't exceed $1 million, but I don't know. I'm speculating, but I'm crossing my fingers. I think if it hits that range, though, Representative Leininger, I think it will be acceptable to the Senate and the governor's office and hopefully your committee as well.
Thank you. Did you have a question for the colonel as well?
The other part of my question, and forgive me for asking a multi-part question, especially to the colonel on the phone, is I heard someone mention that Oregon is unique in that we tax the income of active reserve. I may not get the term right, but could you confirm, are we maybe the only state that has this approach? Because I think that would be helpful in discerning that we're an anomaly and we have to change how we operate.
Well, Chair Barnhart and Representative Leininger, I can't confirm that. I have only anecdotal understanding that we are. However, I can't confirm it, but we can get that question answered, and hopefully the Department of Revenue will know. Colonel French may have a more understanding. Sir, do you recall if there are other states that have?
I do know there's at least one other state. They're very clear in their statutes, and it says if you come to this state and you are a Title 32 member, we plan on taxing you as a resident. That's the only other state that I know of, and I'm pretty sure that if there is one more, maybe that's all there is. So there's not very many. If there's definitely less than a handful, I would say, and I'm thinking less than three states actually tax their AGR members. Most of them, most of the states treat it just like the federal does, and that is if you're an AGR Title 32, that you're treated just like a Title 10, and you're not taxed by that state. You're only taxed as your home or your state of legal residence, which is what Mr. McLean alluded. committed to, which is the finance service and your leave and earnings statement states, and that's a legal document, what your state of legal residence is. The other thing that I'm not positive we've completely covered is the AGRs in the state are a pretty small number compared to the rest of the people that are working on the major military, call them major military bases, but the guard bases in Oregon. The rest of those folks are technicians, government employees, and they're Oregon residents and living within that scheme there.
Thank you.
Representative Whitsitt.
Colonel French, this is Representative Whitsitt, and I was wondering if you could describe for this committee the economic impact of Kingsley Field on the Klamath Falls community and Klamath County in general.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think it's the overall, I've seen the numbers before, so let me just tell you that I'm kind of just guessing at what or remembering what I've seen. But if you were to replace the entire base and the equipment on the base, you're up in the $2 to $3 billion range. The overall economic impact with direct and indirect issues or avenues, I think, I could look it up really quick, but it's a lot. So we're talking in the, I think the payroll is up around four-ish million, something like that. The overall direct economic impact, I think, is around 10-ish million. And again, I might be completely out to lunch because I haven't seen those numbers lately, and I just don't remember if we're talking millions or hundreds of millions.
Thank you. Yes, I think it's close to 100 million is what we have been told on the indirect impact.
And the more I think about it, those eights and tens are actually 80s and are up in the 100
right.
million is the overall direct economic impact.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for Colonel French? Thank you very much, Colonel. We appreciate your testimony today. We're going to make another phone call, and we very much appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Curtis, wait. This will be direct. Did you have to dial 9 first? Yeah. Yeah. Curtis, this is State Representative Phil Barnhart. We're calling, as I think has been prearranged, from the House Revenue Committee. You're talking on a speakerphone on the record, and with the committee today is Senator Whitsitt and Representative Mike McLean. We're talking about House Bill 3561 having to do with the taxation of members of the armed forces. And you're on the record. We're hoping to hear your testimony on that bill. If you would state your name again for the record and then give your testimony, that would be appreciated, and then we may have some questions for you.
Okay, my name is Curtis Waite, C-U-R-T-I-S, last name W-A-I-T-E.
And if you could give the testimony you were planning on this bill, that would be appreciated.
Okay, well, we're just hoping for some common language so that military can understand what is required as far as their filing of residency with Oregon before they come here. So there is an understanding of everyone for the Title 32 AGRs. As you know, in the last couple years, a lot of people have been getting getting hit on their tax filing, and there's been a lot of confusion, and we're just hoping that everyone, there's an understanding at both bases of what we need to be doing. Because we got here understanding one thing, and now it's kind of changing. So we typically had the understanding before that we could leave our home of record or our residency that shows on our leave and earnings statement while we were here in Oregon, and understanding that if we were we were to retire here, we would have to revert to Oregon residency if we were to remain here. So that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to eliminate the confusion.
Could you describe for the committee what your interest personally is, if you have any, in this legislation?
Does this I'm one of the people that are getting penalized for my returns. Also, in my 10, 11, and 12 returns are being looked at. I was at the time Title 32 AGR, and I filed a federal return, but not a in resident Oregon return. So I was asked for those taxes as well as a penalty, which is double that, as well as some interest on that as well. So when I got that, I said, you know, wait a minute, let me talk to someone, because I talked to the CPA three times since I've been in the military here, and they said that I was legal doing what I was doing. And so when I did try to get some answers, I found out others were going through the same thing. So I tried to contact our representatives and see if we could get some resolution to this. So yes, I have an interest in this, but it would be nice that if, after understanding that there's a lot more than just me, mm-hmm. that we all kind of had a new common picture going forward for those that are looking to come to this state in the status that we did.
And you're working on the base now, are you?
No, I retired.
Ah.
I retired 2 years ago, and that's probably why. Then when I retired, I became an Oregon resident, and I think that's probably what got me looked at.
So you've been filing Oregon tax returns since then?
I have.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Did you have questions?
The day I retired, and it's, you know, until I leave the state, because that was our understanding. If you're going to stay here for any time period of time, you now have to go and become an Oregon resident.
Great. Representative McLean, I think, has a question for you.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart. Colonel Waite, and just so that folks understand, Colonel Waite was our vice wing commander who I served with, and he is retired now and was an AGR. So he's one of those assessed, as he mentioned. But, Colonel Waite, now that you're retired, still living in Oregon, you file an Oregon return and pay Oregon taxes on your military retirement. Is that correct?
Oh, that's correct. And the things that we did not do, like we did not vote in Oregon, we didn't have a driver's license in Oregon, we just maintain all that through our state of record.
Thank you.
And a lot of people that come here, they the retention is high. They like it here when they stay. But and I was one of them. I want to stay until I get my daughters out of school, and then we go from there.
Senator Whitsitt?
Thank you, Chair Barnhart. Colonel Waite, it's my understanding that until recently, people who are stationed at Kingsley and other places in Oregon have been told by the military and been told by their professional accountants or CPAs that not filing an Oregon income tax under Title 32 AGR employment was appropriate, legal, and the right thing to do. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was told that three times while I was here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for Colonel Waite? Thank you, Colonel. We very much appreciate your testimony and your being available on the phone with us today. I hope you're enjoying your retirement and that you're still enjoying Oregon.
Well, thank you guys very much for taking the time to look into this. There's a lot of people that really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you have other things you wanted to say?
Chair and members of the committee, I want the reason I asked retired Colonel Waite to testify is he's a great example, and he was an Alaska resident serving in the military, was assigned to Kingsley Field, 173rd Fighter Wing, came into the state for the only reason of his military service. Because of the ability to stay for an extended period of time and service at the 173rd Fighter Wing, he bought a place. His daughters went to school in Klamath Falls. And now that he retired, they stayed so his daughters could graduate high school. And he did the right thing. He said, well, I'm no longer in the military, so if I'm going to stay here, that means I'm now a resident of Oregon, and he has paid Oregon taxes and filed Oregon returns. That's the way it should be. And Colonel French emphasized that for those who were continue on service, he went from a Title 10 service in Mountain Home Base in Idaho and was assigned to Kingsley. Still an F-15 pilot, same uniform, same rank, same everything. But moving from Title 10 to Title 32 is a unique occurrence here. But from his standpoint, nothing changed. He had gone from military base to military base. Then he got here. And so he's a good example of those who are continuing military service in under Title 32, which is the pot of money we use for our F-15 bases, we would be, I believe, unique. He said one state. I think that he might be referring to Montana. I'm not sure if that's the state or an absolute rule. But I think we don't have to worry at all that there are military members trying to game the system. They're not. I certainly hope every single officer and enlisted, senior enlisted, who retires in the Guard chooses Oregon. And because now we have another taxpayer, and I think that's good for us. And many of them do, which is why I think the system should work the way it was intended. If they're here on active duty, whether it be Title 32 or 10, they're not residents of Oregon unless they are residents as deemed by DFAS. And then when they retire, if they stay, they become Oregon residents. And I urge you to adopt what I hope will be the right one, the Dash 2. If not, we'll keep going with dashes until we get it right in an expedited manner. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Other questions? Representative Woodson.
I just have a statement.
Please.
And most of my colleagues have heard me on the floor and in committees repeatedly talk about the extreme state of depression that Klamath County is in, as well as some other rural Oregon counties. And Kingsley Field is an enormous part of what is keeping our small area alive. And the people that are applying for this are unique in all the world for what they do. They simply, this is their job. They are defending our country. They defend our allies around the world. And somebody else just can't step into their place. And as if they choose to leave or not come to Klamath County, we face, a dearth of qualified individuals who are these pilots and maintenance personnel. And finally, the last thing I'd like to say, not a question, but it is my understanding that Governor Brown is in full support of this bill, and also Speaker Kotek, who is one of the main sponsors. So I think this is imperative for the economic viability of a part of the state that really, really needs it, and it is not going to be abused in any capacity. I mean, these people are required by law not to fraudulently apply for this. So I'm hopeful that we can get this done this year, because we're actually, some of these people have tax bills over $100,000 because of the interest that keeps accruing. So we really need to help them out. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Representative Arter, Chair. I wanted to respond to Representative Lineger's question on the fiscal, or on the revenue statement. I think that there are, as Representative McLean said, there's probably some things that we can do to get that revenue statement down. But at the end of the day, these military personnel have believed, have been told by their professional accountants, by the military, by everybody who that did had any authority over them, that what they were doing was the right thing. And then to change that authority in the middle of the game, charging penalty and interest for things that they were doing that they thought was right, from my perspective, is wrong. And whatever it cost, we need to fix it. The people that we're talking about are really the best of the best. I mean, think Top Gun. These guys don't have to come to Klamath. They compete for the privilege of coming to Klamath to teach other people how to fly F-15s. They have no peer. And this is, I think, how our Department of Revenue has been treating them is squalid at best, and I think we need to fix it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard today on this bill? Does the department have any information for us now, or do you want to wait till later? Wait till later. All right. Thank you. Colleagues, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3561. I want you to note that we currently don't have other meetings scheduled. Do keep up with OLIS, because those meetings could be scheduled on short notice, and while we'll try to give you individual notifications, that may or may not actually reach you. So stay tuned. We still have other legislation that needs to get out before the end of the session, and that's rapidly approaching. But with that, the committee's adjourned.